Welcome to Series 2 of the Social Care Podcast, Sharing Stories, with me, Audrey Moore, and David Bagnall, a.k.a. Baggy.
This podcast is for the benefit of anyone working in or studying social care. We like to chat with interesting people in the social care world and hear their stories. Welcome once again to our latest edition of the Social Care Podcast, Sharing Stories, with myself, David Bagnall, a.k.a. Baggy, and Audrey Moore. This week will be our last episode from interviews that we took at Social Care Ireland Conference. And this week we will be focusing on the award winners that had their prizes presented at the gala dinner. The first one is Ciarán Bourne, who won the Social Care Ireland Student of the Year Award, and Joanne McAdam, who won the Social Care Ireland Outstanding Contribution of the Year. How did you find these interviews to do, Audrey?
Oh, absolutely brilliant. Well, firstly, I know Ciarán from TU Dublin, and I know that he's an excellent student. I wasn't aware that he had such a checkered past. So to hear that was took me aback, I won't lie. But to see how far he's come is just amazing. And to see how he's given back now by working in social care, it's really good. And then Joanne just amazed me, the amount of work she does outside of her social care job to help families in need. And I won't give it away for anyone listening, but this is a really, really good episode. And then yourself and myself did a little reflection then while we were down at the conference. And that's the final piece here.
Baggy and I are delighted to be collaborating with Social Care Ireland to bring you this podcast, recorded at the Social Care Ireland Conference 2023. However, Social Care Ireland do not endorse any products or services mentioned, and the opinions expressed are individuals' own and not representative of Social Care Ireland.
Now we're happy to welcome Ciarán Bourne, who was the recipient of the Social Care Ireland Student of the Year Award. Hello, Ciarán. Nice to meet you. First of all, would you like to give us a bit about yourself and what brought you to social care?
What brought me to social care? Well, I was in addiction for 20 years. And I suppose I got clean and I decided, I've seen a lot of people in addiction go to try and work in the field of addiction. And I suppose I came and killed mine and I started out. I'd done a level 6 in the Liberties. And that was actually over 2 years I've done that. And I mean, the intention was always going to work in the field of addiction. I'm actually working in with Walk Now, Disability Service, and I genuinely love it. I think I'm good with people. I think I'm a good character and I want to work with people. So I'm really enjoying working with the Walk with Disability Service.
Well, Catherine was singing your praises. She said you'd be really interesting to talk to, that you have a lovely backstory. So is that you going to tell us that she was alluding to?
Well, I assume she's alluding to, I suppose, my addiction. I mean, I would have started out the usual pathways. I mean, there was no, and I've gone through this a lot in day programs. I was on Kilmore day program 2.5 years. I was one of the longest clients in the day program. And I've done a lot of counselling. And there's no real trauma in my childhood. I mean, I come from a very good family. There's no actual, oh, there we go moment. And I've gone through this, as I said, a lot with my counsellor and that, and in Kilmore, and we went around it. And I think I just really enjoyed how it made me feel. And unfortunately, I went with that for 20 years. I don't think there was a day, really, that I didn't use drugs. I went quite quickly from smoking heroin to injecting heroin. I don't know whether it's because I thought that I wanted to, get the best buzz I could out of it.
What was it that made you get clean in the end?
What made me get clean?
After 20 years.
I took an overdose when my friend came home. I was living in his house and he found me at the bottom of the stairs. So I was really hanging out my arm and I was lying on my leg for so long. I crushed the muscles in my nerves. You see, in my leg, I'm missing a good chunk of it up here as well. And again, they said another half an hour, you would have been gone. And he threw me in the van, threw me to the, I was in a coma. It took me a long time. They were going to amputate my leg. They managed to cut away the sides and relieve the pressure and all. And I was in hospital for a long time. I had to learn how to walk again. And I went out and stayed clear for a small, very short time, and I went back using. And eventually I got up one day, I couldn't walk one leg, and then it was in the other leg, and this went on and on. And eventually I was told I was on crutches. I had to eventually use crutches. And I was in Tala Hospital one day, and a chap said, "Why are you walking like that?" He said, "That's your hips." He ended up doing me surgery, but he brought me in to take blood, and they seen my arms, obviously the track marks and that. And he says, "Look, not a hope." He said, "We want you at least a year clean." I said, "Well, that's where it started." Now, it took me a couple of years before I got there. I was in a couple of day program. That did help me. But I ended up in Kilmore then, and look, they held on to me, as I said, for nearly 2.5 years until I got me hips replaced, and then I came off the methadone. Before I went to Kilmore, actually, I went to Kildare to stabilise on the methadone. It was like I couldn't get a day clean out here, and I wouldn't say there was an aha moment, but I mean, when I went into treatment, I don't know, it was strange. I mean, I could have walked out of Kildare, it's in the middle of Paddy Fairman. I mean, but and the day I went in there, it was like, from that day, that gave me my start. I just took it from there, really. I wouldn't say there was any major aha moment. I knew we needed to get my life together. I suppose I took it from there. I got the ear clean or whatever, and I eventually got the first hip replaced, and then I eventually got the second hip replaced. And yeah, I'm after 7 years in crutches, 7 years or more in crutches.
Yeah. But, yeah. So you've been through an awful lot.
I've been, yeah.
Now you're in fourth year in applied social care in TU Dublin and Tala. I'm kind of wondering, like, what have the challenges been to do that course? Because 4 years in full-time education is a long time.
It is a long time. I've done 2 years full-time at Liberties before that.
So 6 years in full-time education.
6 years, and that's why I'm with the master. I think I need a break for a little moment. I'm nearly 50, well, I'm 50 for another 3 years. Yeah, look, I've really enjoyed it. Like, I mean, my intention was at the start to go into addiction studies. And I remember Jackie Howard and Liberty saying, "Why not go into social care?" That it would open more avenues if I didn't want to go and work in addiction. So yeah, I applied to TU Dublin. I went and I'd done the interview and I got on the course. I thought I would. I don't think I'm spectacularly intelligent or anything, but I think I'm a good personality. I thought I would get on the course, and I didn't think I'd enjoy it as much as I have.
But you obviously have something if you were nominated for the award and somebody saw something in you, and when it was discussed, other people saw what was seen in you as well. So you must have something in you that makes you stand out a little bit from people around you.
Yeah.
I don't mean better, but you know, you have your standout style of whatever you do.
Yeah. And I don't know what if I mean, you could probably send me into a room of 100 people and I'd just stroll in and start talking to people. It's not something that I don't know. I mean, I put a lot into my work as well, me assignments and all. I mean, all my class has slagged me a lot. Like, I mean, when someone hands out an assignment, someone might joke, "Give it to Kieran, as it does." I mean, yeah. I live across the road in the college and I dedicate a lot to my assignments. I think my grades have shown that my grades are good.
Well, I think even from us speaking here these few minutes, it shows that reflection is a huge part of social care, on yourself and on your work, and like you obviously have done a whole lot of that in these years, and I think that probably serves as a strength for you that you can do that.
Oh yeah, definitely it does. Like, and I mean, I have a lot of forces in my life. I have a great family. I have my son and my partner, and my son's a big force in my life. Do you know what I mean? He'll be coming up to 7 now in a couple of weeks, and like the way I look at it, he never has to know me in addiction.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He never has to know me in addiction.
That's lovely. And you mentioned earlier on that you love social care. So you're working for Walk.
Yeah, I'm up for Walk.
You're finishing up your degree now in the next month or two. But what is it about social care in particular that you love?
I enjoy working with people. I enjoy the interaction. I really do. I really enjoy the interaction with people.
Very good. Yeah. So it's been a pleasure chatting to you today, Kieran. Yeah. And we wish the best luck with the rest of your degree and with your career going forward. So thank you so much. And congratulations on winning Student of the Year for Social Care Ireland.
Thanks very much, guys.
Next, we're joined by Joanne McAdam. Joanne is the recipient of the Outstanding Contribution to Social Care for her work doing hampers.
Yes.
Joanne, do you want to tell us, first of all, how you got into social care?
I'm started about 20 years ago. So about 21 years ago, I volunteered. I used to do a lot of work in youth clubs as a volunteer, and I volunteered to go on a holiday with the Vincent de Paul as a youth worker with the children. And the week just opened my eyes and I realized I had a passion for working with children. And I said, this is what I want to do. So I came back home and I harassed the HSE at the time for an interview. I sent on CV and I rang them weekly for a few weeks until they agreed to meet with me. I wasn't experienced. I just had voluntary experience. So I had no qualification. Coming from born and reared in Finglas, so I would have a lot of experience kind of doing voluntary work with kids around the area. So
St. Helena's there, are you familiar with them?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, ground. Yeah. Croft Road.
Yeah. So I used to do a lot of work in the kind of community, inner city, Vincent de Paul group. So harassed them for an interview. They agreed to meet with me. And yeah, so they had no openings in work at the time. So I think I was the first person maybe in the history of state to volunteer for the HSE to show them that I was so interested. So I volunteered in a residential unit in town in Dublin City for about 4 weeks. And afterwards, I got a phone call and they gave me a contract. Mm-hmm. And I started in a residential unit in Sorts, Oakview, at the time. And that's how I started, yeah, into the social care field. So I've done 5 years in residential. And then 15 years ago, I got offered a job in the social work department in Airside Sorts as a community worker. And progressed then from social care worker to social care leader. And I've been with them ever since, so 20 years now.
Wow, yeah. So that's what you're doing now. You're a social care leader.
Social care leader on the pre-allocation team in Sorts. Yeah, love my job.
What do you love about it?
I love my colleagues. I love my team leader. Shout out Martina Murray. She's absolutely fantastic. We love everybody in our office. Mostly love the families that I work with. Tough work, but very rewarding. I get to meet lovely people every day because we're community-based. So I'm in a lot of people's homes, out with kids, out with families, doing pieces of work, trying to implement kind of services and supports to give them the best, I suppose.
A lot of variety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So tell us then about the hampers. What happened?
Yeah, so when I started in Airside, after about a year and a half, I was doing a bit of work with one family in particular and kind of realised coming up to Christmas that they didn't have much and the kids didn't have much. And I was very fond of this family and the other kids, and the mum was trying really hard. So I took it upon myself to help them that Christmas. And I was very upset with it all. As I said, kind of in my speech last night, for me growing up, you know, my mum done absolutely everything for us to make Christmas the most magical time that it could have been. And she always pulled it out of the bag. We had absolutely everything. She just made it really special. And it kind of broke my heart to think there was a lot of kids out there that wouldn't have that experience, down to, you know, your Christmas Eve pajamas and the excitement of Santa coming in the morning. So I started off with the one family and I said, you know what, this one family, how many more is there that isn't, that don't have anything for Christmas? So by the following year, I had 150 kids in pajamas for Christmas Eve.
Wow.
That's a leap.
Yeah, yeah. A leap. And it's just grown over the years. There's just so many families that could do with that.
So what numbers are you up to now?
Last Christmas, I think we covered about 200 families for hampers for Christmas.
And what do you put in the hampers?
So the hampers would be, we look at kind of things that we would have liked as kids or your own children would like. So big one for me, and as I said, growing up, it was always the new pajamas, Christmas Eve, and the little bits. And so we put pajamas, we do toys, so we'd go to Smith's and we'd buy a load of toys so they all have something from Santa in the morning, sweets, collection boxes, treats, socks, toiletries, anything, turkey and hams. I got donated by a few local butcher, one local butcher in Finglas, donated a load of turkey and hams to me last year. Restaurants. So a lot of restaurants in Swords that we would go to, we've linked in with them as our local community. So they give me vouchers. So it's nice for some of the families that maybe not be able to go out or could afford to go out and have a little dinner together. We can give them a little voucher. They can bring their kids out, go for a nice meal while they're doing a little bit of Christmas. Yeah.
So the way you're talking there, you make it sound really easy. Mm. But I know that that sort of thing is not easy.
No.
And I imagine that there's a lot of knocking on doors.
Oh, of course.
There's a lot of, and I heard a rumor that you're not shy about asking people
absolutely
for help.
Absolutely not. As I said, I've definitely no shame in my game. I have a natural talent, or what most people would say is blagging.
Yeah.
A few bits. So I started off, I've made a good few connections along the way. Dunn Stores have been very good to me over the years. Fantastic Irish company. They've donated vouchers so I can buy pajamas for the kids. Oh, yeah. Local businesses, as I said, Butchers, the local Spar and Swords, restaurants. And then the Kellogg's have been very good to us for cereals and stuff. The rest is literally family, friends, colleagues. A lot of my community in Fingus have been really supportive over the years. A lot of people wouldn't have much themselves, but they've always donated a few selection boxes, a few bits.
I think Fingus was always good. When I lived there, we did some on projects. It was always like Gatto.
Yes.
And Nyack's and stuff. That they were always kind of ingrained in the community.
Yeah.
But you kind of hit on a busy time of year.
Yes.
Because like I'm involved in some bike groups and coming up to Christmas, we have like 6 events and everybody wants to do the best for Christmas. And there's so many people, and that's just in that group. But then you have all the other organizations that are looking for Christmas. So you must have something special to be able to go and look after that many families that well.
I do. You know? And I think what happens is, like, I don't start at Christmas. Yeah. I start my collecting kind of July, August for Christmas. Yeah. I'm lucky in the sense of, because it's been so consistent, I'm going into my 14th year of doing it now, that a lot of people are expecting my call around the end of the summer. So people are very good. And like I said, the most donations that I actually get is family, friends, it's colleagues reaching out to their families. People are very, very generous. And they know, I suppose, people are quite happy to donate to myself and my group for this, because they know we're doing the one-on-one work with the families. So we know the families that are actually the bit of help.
That is the thing that we've discussed with other people we've interviewed, is that the relationship and the bonds that you make, and you're putting something out there that people identify with.
Yes.
So you're obviously hitting a sweet spot with with people who identify with these people in your community as well.
And like I said, it's mostly coming from people that would have had some kind of struggle themselves over time, and they're always the most generous of donating. It's not funded, even though I work for TUSA, it's not funded by TUSA. It's an independent thing. But obviously with the families that we work for, you know, it's within the organization.
But does that not make it more special then, because it's something that you started separate from your job?
Absolutely.
And you can run it that way. Yeah. So it gives, I find things that give just that little extra kick when you do it.
Well,
it's a fantastic initiative. Yeah. And tell me how you felt when you heard that you had won the Outstanding Contribution to Social Care Award.
Absolutely mortified. as I said, look, I mean, nobody does this for any kind of recognition. Yeah. You know, you do this because you want to. And I just think of the kids, and that's my big focus, is that they're happy. But I was absolutely thrilled. My lovely colleagues, Jamie McDonough, Amy Washington, Sonia O'Neill, and Suzanne Dwyer nominated me, unbeknownst to myself, in the office. I got an email then from Social Care Ireland to say I was a winner of this award. So I had no clue. Didn't have any speech or that prepared, so I was kind of winging it last night. But yeah, no, it was thrilled. It's really lovely, and I'm hoping that maybe I'm not one for public speaking, or, you know, kind of putting yourself out there, but if I can get a little bit more recognition, or maybe if this encourages other people to do something. It's very easy to set up, you know. I suppose it's just trying to stay consistent and focused on it, and at the end of the day, it is all about the children that we work with, and they're the ones benefiting from it, you know.
So if somebody wants to get in touch with you to maybe set up something similar or to help you in some way, how would they do that?
They can contact me. My email is joanne.macadam1@tusla.ie. I'm based in Airside Swords. More than happy to give anybody a little bit of advice, or show them kind of how I've done it and how it's expanded. If people want to set it up themselves, I'm equally more than happy to accept donations. As a rule, I don't accept financial contribution. Yeah. I don't like dealing with cash. So, I mean, a few selection boxes, a few vouchers, whatever it is, it's more, we're more than grateful. Even if it's a pair of socks, it all goes a long way. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
No, thanks very much for doing it. I really enjoy that. I love meeting people who get up and go on them and do something good. And as I say, we're trying to share stories of the scope of social care and you doing something that's not job related, but is still social care, shows that there's still care and social care.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us. Really enjoyed
it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, Maggie, we're coming to the end of the Social Care Ireland Conference this year, 2023. What has your key takeaway been from it?
I think what I noticed most different about this year was the amount of young people around. Students coming in on the mentor program. There seemed to be a lot of younger staff as well from the organizations. I know that TUSLA sent, I think it was 100 people for the conference this year. And you could see there was a bigger variety in attendees than the last couple of years, which I think was great. It gave everything a bit of a lift. I also enjoyed seeing some younger speakers. Like there was two younger, Ross and Mark from Walk, and hearing service users speak, I think that was very, very positive.
It's very full circle to hear the service users speak, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems to be going for the future now. Like, as I say, service users and future staff. I think I've also enjoyed doing these interviews as well, because we're getting short clips and insights into a lot of areas that I don't know a lot about. Like, we know TUSLA, but then when we found out about hampers and all that as a side thing people are doing, we're speaking to people on LinkedIn, and we know that they work for a particular organization, but we don't know particularly what they do. So it's lovely to put physical faces and
absolutely
get the stories.
I've spoken to so many people here today who I would have only really chatted with online, or kind of, you know, the likes and the shares and stuff online on LinkedIn especially, but I've met so many more people who come up to me and said, oh, I listen to the podcast. And sure, you know, I wouldn't know them, but lots of people have said that they listen to the podcast. But I think for me, my biggest takeaway here this time is the variety of people here, from services, exhibitors, speakers. In the past, I would have very much noticed that there was an awful lot of lecturers here. And while there's still a lot of lecturers here, that's great. There's an awful lot of other diverse people as well. The student mentoring program is a real standout for me now this year. Hearing Ado speak about it earlier was absolutely brilliant, but also hearing one of the mentors talk about it.
Yeah, and I didn't even know Paul was one of the mentors as well. So
yeah, absolutely. And I really hope that that continues going forward.
I think there is a lot of hidden stuff in social care that is not generally known, even among social care, never mind outside. And what I find is that since we started the podcast, it's given us an extra reason to stop people and ask them who they are and what they're about. And it's given me more of a purpose, really, to speak to people.
Yeah.
You know, like, otherwise you would just walk by people. Take, like, Sue Cushion. Met her last year, didn't know anything about her, just kind of said hello and passing and exchanged a few niceties. Then we did the full interview with her for fostering, and you got to know a whole lot more about her. And then meet her here again this year, and all of a sudden you have that new bond, a new relationship, and it's kind of like you've known her for a long time because you have the background.
Absolutely. I think those connections are strengthened the more you meet people, the more often you see people and chat to them. It's really amazing. Thanks for joining us for this episode. We'd really like to encourage you to take a look at joining Social Care Ireland. It's really reasonable at only €50 for the year. And sure, you make your money back on the very first CPD activity you attend. I've been a member myself for a number of years now, and it's really valuable. Not only do you get CPD activities and regular information, they also provide amazing events such as the Social Care Ireland Conference, which you get reduced rates to.
So Audrey and myself would like to thank you for joining us for these 4 episodes. I'd say we recorded at Social Care Ireland. We had a very busy couple of days. We had a stand in the exhibitors area. We met lots of people who came by and showed lots of interest in what we were doing. And between running from there and back and forward and doing the interviews, it was tiring, but I have to say it was very educational, lots of fun, and I met lots of new contacts. And Audrey and I are very interested in networking, so that was an added bonus for the amount of people that we met.
Yeah. Tune in next week as we bring you more great content from the Social Care Podcast, Sharing Stories. See ya.